Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations in Care, the flagship radio program of the CARE Radio Network. The radio program dedicated to covering senior health topics, chronic conditions, and self-care. Using the simple act of conversation, we can create awareness, establish a course of action, and design a community of support. Conversations in Care was created from the many conversations throughout her 18-year involvement as a dementia practitioner, care advocate, and your host, Tammy Newman.
Good morning and welcome to Conversations in Care. Today, we are talking about healing the emotional consequences of chronic illness. And I am so excited to be talking about this. Just because having worked within the care industry for about 18 years and working with my son who was diagnosed 3 years ago with type 1 diabetes, there's a lot to chronic illness that I think us as practitioners in the healthcare industry really don't understand. And there's a component to it that is really important, I think, for helping the whole entire care team be successful in the care of that person. So I'm very excited to have my guest today. Her name is Marina Taplina, and she's a performing artist, puppeteer, clown, and she also has type 1 diabetes as well. Before I bring her onto the show very quickly, I wanted to thank all of my sponsors. I have a great set of sponsors that really help me to keep conversations online and available to anybody that needs this information. So I do want to thank Seniors Blue Book. Seniors Blue Book is a great resource for anyone that is looking for senior housing. You can find one of these potentially at your local hospital, and also in the Chicagoland area, you can find it at any of the GenCare locations. Private Duty Network in Michigan, also Thrive Assisted Living in Michigan, and also Hurricane Marketing Enterprises. Steve, the Hurricane Weiss, has been a longtime supporter. He's been one of my supporters for the past 2 years since I started this show. And I do want to give a big thank you to him. He's out in New Jersey. And if you need any help in marketing your senior care community or home care company, he's the one you need to get in contact with. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to you Marina Taplina. Marina, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Tammy, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Now, I talked very, very quickly a little bit about who you are as a person, but we haven't really talked too much yet about the BD's organization that really kind of brings your concept of performing artists and how we can empower and heal some of the emotional consequences when someone's living with a chronic illness. So why don't we, let me kind of take a step backwards, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about you and what your life has been like with a chronic illness.
Sure. So actually the way I've come to think about it is that I've had type 1 diabetes since I was 2 years old, but I say that I became truly conscious of the fact that I have it. Only 23 years into having it. And I think that now that we are on the path of doing the work that the BDs is developing, I've come to see that the reason that that relationship occurred, which was a relationship of not fully understanding how diabetes affects all parts of me, and not just physically mm-hmm. in negative ways, but in ways that aren't necessarily tangible. And that's because my diabetes was treated as a machine, as just a thing that's made up of numbers and, you know, and hemoglobin A1C tests and my blood sugar readings and the cholesterol checks, you know, all of the biomedical, incredibly important physical components. But what the meaning of diabetes in my life, I was never even asked that question. So the work of the BDs is coming from that personal trajectory, and then seeing that, as a matter of fact, there's a big hunger for filling that need, and that I was not the only one who had that unfulfilled. And that's a really very deep and difficult to pinpoint, need for every individual, because it's really unique and individualized.
You know what, and you are so correct, and I think, if I can go back and look at the experience that my son and I have had over the past 3 years, there was something that was missing to me within his care that was sometimes really hard to vocalize. You know, we had great doctors that helped us to understand what type 1 diabetes was. We went through the classes to learn these complicated math equations to figure out how much insulin we're supposed to take. So when you said it was mechanical, it was this, I understood what you said there, but there was something that was definitely missing that was hard to really, how can I help him process through this? Because there's a lot of emotional stuff that goes with it. And I love that you're really almost bridging the gap between patients and practitioners, because there is this gap, and sometimes we don't know how to walk over that bridge to kind of help everybody work together in conjunction. And maybe that's where you could tell us a little bit about what the BD's organization is really trying to do.
Yes. So you are absolutely correct. That is certainly part of, our work divides into three, you can say, applicable to three different subcategories of people as part of the care experience, which is the family, the patient, and then the caregiver, right? Meaning the medical practitioner. And we aim to be in partnership with healthcare providers and their patients in doing this work. And what is this work? We are using the tools of theater, such as storytelling and metaphor and puppetry and a slew of other skills. And again, we think of them as tools, because it's not about the thing itself. It's about what it does. And we are developing a program that helps people visualize, vocalize, and verbalize what is known within the narrative medicine field as the illness narrative. And the thing is, I know that, for example, within the type 1 and type 2 diabetes sphere, there's, oh, is it an illness? Is it a disease? Is it a condition? I don't like the word illness. So part of it, which I understand, right? Nobody wants to be sick or what, all of that. It is all incredibly valid. So we sort of took a cut around that conversation and said it's very simply a beast. We live with a beast. It is there. We have to acknowledge it, and we have to listen to it. What is the role of that beast in my life? How does it affect my everyday experience? And how does that interweave itself into the longer trajectory of my life story? I'm going to quote Dr. Arthur Kleinman, who wrote a book in 1986 called Suffering, Healing, and the Human Condition, Illness Narratives. And he was, I would say, he's a pioneer of narrative medicine in many ways. And he distinguished disease from illness. Disease being the biomedical, physical, mechanical process of a disease process and the symptoms. But he defined illness as a separate entity, where illness is the experience, the lived experience of disease. And those are two very different definitions, because the illness is basically my everyday life, whether or not I choose to use the word illness. And the disease is from the practitioner's point of view, right? And there is a huge gap between those two words. So where we are working is to bring the illness narrative into the practice of the disease space. And just to be clear, because there is an incredible illness narrative and narrative medicine movement, I have no experience or practice as a trained narrative medicine person, because we are developing our own method of working, which is based off of theatrical tools. But their work is really groundbreaking as well.
You know, when you just made those definitions right there in regards to what disease and what is disease and what is illness, that's amazing how that's kind of broken that down for me, even as a parent of a child with a chronic condition or illness, like you said, or disease. And we could probably spend a whole entire show talking about that, because I think there's so much to talk about. But I kind of want to go back to what you do as an organization, and you've chosen this modality of using theater. So why is theater so important, and why is this such an important medium to really bring about these changes or bridge the gaps even?
Yeah. Well, so theater is, and this is how my partner and I, Deborah Kaufman, who's actually one of the founders of Clown Care, which was the first professional hospital clowning program in the world, we call that theater is a low-risk modeling of human experience, right? A low-risk modeling of human experience. And theater is the art of relationships. You see how people connect to each other. We create situations, and you get to see how things play out, but in a very safe way, right? The war on the stage is not real, though it certainly feels real in the moment if the actor is doing their job. So because in the space of the illness narrative, what the conversation becomes about is how I, as a patient or simply as a person with a beast, relate to my beast is primary. It's the relationship. It's how much does that beast weigh, right? And how does my previous network of relationships affect my able to healthily relate to this beast? And so this is where it becomes a conversation of emotional health, because emotional health is really about relationships. And fostering healthy relationships. And so though it seems absurd to say that you can have a healthy relationship with an illness, as a matter of fact, you can. And unfortunately, in a lot of the medical education, or specifically diabetes education, what is focused on is the very last step of a process, which is again the not the biometrics, but the nutrition counts, you know, all of the technical components, the actions, right? And those are incredibly important, but they are the last step. They are the last step of a process of a person coming to understand their experience, their lived experience of their condition, illness, or beast. So theater is uniquely position to be able to look at all of that and create engagements that allow people to begin having that conversation with themselves. And one of the ways that we're working is, at least for me, you know, and it becomes different for other people, but where we started was I, as a puppeteer, thought after a sort of personal breakthrough that did come from a lot of pain, I went, wait a minute, what if I make my diabetes into a puppet? What would that do? And would it work? And what would that be? And the work has grown from there. And every time the response clearly validates of, one, not only how clear does this active visualization and externalization work across all ages, but it also opens to a different way of thinking, allowing them to reflect back on themselves, and then begin their own journey with themselves. And you know, and that's a journey that we are developing a program to help foster.
You know, the more that we talk and the more that I go through your website, and, you know, I wish, you know, I definitely wish that I would have known about you in year one of dealing with diabetes with my son, because it was a very difficult and emotional time. And there are things that, you know, were difficult for me to really vocalize to him and for him to vocalize to me. And I think having something like this could have definitely helped both of us in really transitioning from a child with no chronic illness to a child at the age of 12 having a chronic illness. And, you know, and I think also the other piece of the puzzle too for us is, how do you use this to really help marry those two? You know, how do you help, you know, practitioners, you know, have those conversations or to work with people that have the chronic conditions? How are you using this to help both sides of this situation?
Yeah, well, I mean, on the most immediate impactful level, it's that because theater and a performance is an emotional experience, empathy is automatically built in the room because you see a character going through through a wide range of experiences in relationship to this beast puppet, right? So it automatically brings out what is this inner experience that a person has that is completely hidden and completely unknown, and that the practitioner has no idea about. So that's on the immediate level. What's happening on a more deep and more complicated level is that what we're really proposing is a new language. And developing a new language. And we hope to bring that to practitioners to help them in their work in understanding and helping them to connect to their patients. What's important is that we are an artist-led organization. I think it's almost ridiculous that that art has been so cast aside in our society because there is an active medium that is an ancient history, which is theater, which can greatly serve our healthcare system. And it's once I made that link, it became so obvious. Somebody sees a work, it becomes really apparent. But at first it's really like, wait, what? Theater, healthcare, Broadway—you know what? What are you talking about? And it's not about Broadway. It's the most deep part of what makes performance, live performance, so amazing. And theatrical language is a language, and just like learning any new language, it allows you to look back on the language that you already speak and you see these new connections, right? You think, oh, I didn't realize that English positions, you know, verbs in this way, which changes the way that I actually understand reality. So it's doing a bit of that as well. I hope that answered your question at least a bit.
No, I think it did. And, you know, you brought up another concept that I think is, you know, something that we tend to really forget about. And I know a lot of practitioners out there that that use music, that use dance, that use art as a way to, whether it's to connect or to, you know, really help that person feel the emotions and work through them. So, you know, why not theater, and why not use these artistic expressions in a way to really help everyone involved in creating the best possible care outcomes? If I can use, I just put on my practitioner hat by saying outcomes. But, you know,
yes.
I think there's a piece of the puzzle that we're missing, and this is it. And, you know, we're at the point where we're starting to run out of a little bit of time, but there's a couple things I do want to get to. There's something that I saw on your website that talks about marry the beast and marry the care. And I think this is a great little concept. I loved it. Could you share a little bit about what this is?
Yes, absolutely. So Marry the Beast is for people with beasts, again, using our language, though you certainly don't have to call it a beast for yourself. And it's where a person makes a deep commitment to their own health, their own path, and their own story. And it's actually a third step in a five-step program, which is a program of healing. And we actually have our very first Marry the Beast coming up on February 28th, which we are, it's a first public testing of this work. It came from a very personal seed where I married my own diabetes at halfway through last year while we were developing all this work. And I was surprised at how powerful it was. So Marry the Beast is the commitment part. After a person has opened and deepened their relationship to themselves and their condition, the third step is the commitment. And we create a celebration of community where the entire community comes in and supports the person in this newfound path and relationship with themselves, just the way that a marriage does. So it's a very joyful occasion and full of very playful elements, but it's also really deeply serious. And Marry the Care is doing a bit of the same, but this time for practitioners. We have not done this yet, and we're also a very new organization. But the ideas there is to create a ceremony for any healthcare practice where every practitioner there, every provider, looks at their doctor story, right? They go back to their own seeds of what wanted them to be a healer, right, a healthcare practitioner. And we create a ceremony that helps make that primary, right? So it would be a celebration of what that is for that team, for that clinic, for that department, and as a way to commemorate and put into writing what the vows are for that healthcare practice. And not something that's in the background, but something that is at the forefront. And that can certainly, you know, Marry the Beast and Marry the Care can probably happen actually concurrently within the same healthcare institution, but we're definitely not there yet.
Well, Marina, why don't you, I want you to first tell us a little bit about you mentioned very quickly that there is going to be a Marry the Beast on the 28th. If you could tell us a little bit about that, and then also tell us, how can people find out about you? How can they look to sponsor or partner or donate with you? Where is the best way to get that information?
Yeah, absolutely. So Marry the Beast on February 28th, it is actually it is an RSVP-required event. We are almost at capacity. We're introducing our work to a broader community and select group of individuals, and as a way to raise funding as well. You can donate to us through thebeeties.org. That's like the end of diabetes, so thebeetes.org. And you just click on the donate button. And there is we have a fiscal sponsor, so it is a tax-deductible donation while we are in the process of becoming a 501c3. And you can also find me on Facebook, which is Marina Tsoplina. I think that will be easier to find me through just the spelling of my name on your Conversations and Care website. But it's Tsaplina. And we're also on Twitter, which is at thebeetesorg. Thebeetesorg. And I think, and of course, you can find us through the workshop that we do. We hope to be at every diabetes campus summer. This is a conversation that I'm about to have, but I would love to be going to the Diabetes College Network pods and doing our work there, bringing our work to them. But that's still that's a process. But we're very new. We're moving forward. February 28th is really our launch. And that's what I think that is what that event has become. And we're quite excited. I think we really have something that is filling a gap, and we want to introduce that to as many people as possible in order to be able to reach as many people as possible.
Absolutely, Marina. I totally agree 1,000% that there is that gap when it comes to healthcare. Or, you know, I think on your website you also refer to this as human care, and I think this is you know, a step in the right direction for all of us to look at, whether it's a chronic illness or whether it's something that is something like dementia or other types of care, someone that's having cancer
care.
Absolutely. I think it fits in all of those arenas. And I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to be with us here on Conversations in Care and really share your vision. And I will definitely have you on again, because there's more that we can really talk about and really kind of delve in. I just wanted to get to the basics today, but I think there's a lot more that we can talk about a little bit deeper and go a little bit further about. So if you're open to that, I'd love to have you back on the show.
I would love that. I think there's a lot here to speak of, yes. A lot of work to do and a lot of conversations to be had.
Well, Marina, thank you so much for being with us today here on Conversations in Care.
Thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome. I want to thank everyone for listening to Conversations in Care today. This is a great way to open up that conversation, that way to maybe bridge the gap between those that are patients and those that are practitioners. And how can we really help someone be successful and have some of these breakthroughs emotionally in regards to dealing with something that is with you for the rest of your life. I also want to let you know that if you go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/conversationsincare, there you'll find additional information and ways to get in touch with Marina and be able to check out the information that she has to share as well. I also want to take a quick moment to thank all of my sponsors: Thrive Assisted Living, Private Duty Network, Seniors Blue Book, and Hurricane Marketing Enterprises. If you are interested in being a part of our sponsors, please let me know. And the easiest way to do that is to go to that Facebook page, and you can send me a message there. I want to thank everyone for joining in the conversation, and be well.